All right, let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is stored with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So today we will just, start up something interesting. Like I would always say, most of what we do throughout the year, we have a system or structure where we have our topics approved, prior to the beginning of every year. But, at some times you just have to, lend ourselves to what the Spirit of God is wanting us to focus on per time and per phase. Sometimes there are just some things the Spirit of God will just point your attention to, and it might be for quite a number of people, it might be for one person, right? But the most important thing is that God's word is being taught and you are being instructed that way. So we're going to have like a combination of maybe two, three things, particularly two foundational things. All right, two key things, particularly two foundational things. So the back end, as we can call it, will be around, the leading of the Spirit, the following the promptings of the Spirit, spiritual compass, supernatural navigation, many name you call it. And another part is going to be around how to ensure that we remain men of faith, right? How we ensure that we remain men of faith. So today we'll just jump into what I will call, you can call it a title. You want to call it a title, you can call it the mouth that frames the world, or the mouth that frames your world. Yeah, so I've given the title ahead already, so you should be able to know what we are going to pay attention to. The mouth that frames your world, the mouth that frames the world. All right, so look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just jump right into it. Hebrews chapter 11. I'd implore you pay a lot of attention to the things that we will say. Avoid distractions. And this is one of those classics I believe we're going to have as a ministry that we would come back to over and over and over again. All right, so look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We did something around this while we're doing the series. If you remember, we did a series, was it last year, called The Believer's Authority. And the believer's voice of victory, or the believer's victory, or the believer's voice of victory, something around those lines, right? We did that last year, or the year before, right? But on the back of those things, some of the things we said, then we'll just say a lot of things as well. So Hebrews, I hope you're in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 11, sorry, and go all the way to verse 1 to 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if you look at that word in Hebrews 11, the first word there now in the real sense from Hebrews 11, if you look at it from the English translation, a lot of times you realize that you don't start a sentence with the word now. All right. So if you look at the original word, is the word de in the Greek. So it's whatever the Greek, call it. So it's a word that can be used to speak about moreover, sometimes therefore, sometimes but, sometimes and the like. So it means that Hebrews 11 is not a chapter in that must be considered in isolation. So it means you must have gone through, verse 38 of chapter 10. Chapter 10, sorry. It says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. Moreover, faith. Does that make sense? Right? Moreover, or therefore, right? Or to the end, or so to say, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look at verse 2. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So it's through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Look at it one more time. It says, through faith, verse 3, that we understand that the worlds were framed. So it's definitely having an allusion to Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Altogether. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. It is through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and so that things which are seen, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Right. So before we go into, you know, today's teaching, one of the things I want to establish is the fact that, you know, to set it, you know, set the tone or the foundation for this series is that we are in a world where a lot of people seem to have questions about the in-court reality of life they are living in, and the things that God would have, might have, or, you know, could have said to them. So it looks like there's a disparity between what they are saying, right, in their life, as it were, reality, and the things that God had said to them. So God had said to them either through the voice of, you know, His Spirit, His voice, you know, the voice of your leaders, your pastors, your voice of other believers as well, you know, and just voices generally in the world. All right. Yeah. So, but the truth remains that a lot of times the response that believers have in the midst of all of those things that are going on, or in the midst of the face of identifying or getting to a point where it looks, or they have identified the point where it looks like there's a difference between their expectations and the things that, you know, are really happening. A lot of times believers are not as much prepared for that feast, for that season. Altogether, believers are not as much prepared for that season. Right. So we're going to be looking through God's word, this series particularly, to see how can we use God's words to actually shape the future or the world that we want to execute. You know, when I was, you know, quite a number of years ago, I still said it, I think recently to someone, right. But when I was much younger, right, I used to say, you know, if you have to, I'll say picture the future. I think I've said it even recently in church. Picture the future you want to feature. So picture the future, F-U-T-U-R-E, that you want to feature in, as F-E-A-T-U-R-E, right, from the pages of the scriptures. You get the point. That sounds very, you know, motivational and all those kind of things. But there's something I've realized as I grew older, as I'm growing older, right? And I realized that sometimes if we're not careful, we end up throwing the baby and the bath water, and the water and the baby, you know, away, you know, as we say, because sometimes we are trying to bring a correction or trying to bring certain corrections, certain things. You know, like I would always say, don't go to extremes, you know, to establish a biblical truth. It's something that if you're not careful, you will easily fall prey to that, you know. So the fact remains that whilst it sounds all motivational or inspirational, but the truth is that there is an underlying fact that you can pick from it that, you know, sort of makes sense, you know, picture, right, in your mind or in your vision or your vision board, the future, you want a future. So how do you want to see yourself in the future? But make sure it aligns as well with the will of God. It's just like, you know, growing up and saying you see yourself as a minister of the gospel, discipling 1,000 people, right? That's a picture of the future you want to feature from the scriptures. Discipling 1,000 people, as it were, is something, or discipling people, as it were, is a concept from the scriptures and instruction in scriptures. Right? So sometimes we, you know, end up throwing the baby and the bathwater away. But you see, one of the things that, you know, you can pick from, you know, some of the things that we've seen from our fathers, in the faith, our fathers as well, our parents, is the fact that they stayed true to God's word regardless of the situation they found themselves. Do you understand? All right. They stayed true to God's word, regardless of the solution they found themselves. You see, you find out, there are lots of our parents who, you know, maybe our grandparents as well, who were Christians, have lived their life on earth in their 80s, 90s, you know, gone on to be with the Lord. And you realize that at the end of their life, they didn't as much, you know, have all the money or the funds or the material gain and prosperity thing in their lives. But you could just tell that they were people of faith. You could just tell that they don't live the life you would have thought you want to live, or the future of their lives you see is not necessarily the future of the life you want to see. So what I mean is, sometimes you look at your grandparents and you say to yourself, that's not the way I want to, you know, pass on to glory or sleep in Christ. You know, but the fact remains that there's something about how they approached life Do you understand? So hoping that by the time we're done with this series, we'll be able to, you know, have a shift in our orientation, and particularly a shift in the kind of words we say, not just in our thinking, you know, but in actually in the words, in the way we use our lips, the way we use our mouth, the way we talk, the kind of things we say altogether. Right, you know, so we'll try to see how we keep staying with the word, staying in the word, letting the word shape the way we think, by extension, the way we speak, and by extension, the way we live. Right, so the big question I want to ask you today is, before the series even starts, right, the big question for you today is, what do you say? What do you say? Right, how do you respond to life? Yeah. What do you say? That means what comes out of your mouth? What do you voice out? What comes out of your mouth? What do you voice out? What do you say? How do you respond to life? You know? Yeah? What do you say? How do you respond to life? Right? Look at Genesis chapter 1 and let's see how the scripture opens up. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and go all the way to, start from verse 1. Genesis chapter 1. You know, a lot of times, your thinking ideally should influence how you talk. But, you know, there is that phase an average Christian goes through in their Christian journey, which is the phase of unlearning to relearn or learn. And the fact remains that a lot of times, whilst our mind is being renewed in God's word, sometimes we are not as deliberate in giving expression to the words we say to align with the renewal that our minds are going through. Yeah, I'll say that one more time, right? A lot of times, I'll say it differently. A lot of times, people, whilst they claim to grow in the word, in knowledge, in the real sense, the kind of things that they say, right? You know, I was saying it to someone, I can't remember where I was saying it, but somewhere recently I was saying that a lot of times, a true test of your spiritual growth, a true test of how you've grown in the things of the spirit, one of the ways to check for it is, how do you talk? Another way to check for it is, what do you say when the storm is raging? What do you say when it looks like, you know, everything seems to be going upside down? Right? It's in that real face, in that heat of the moment, that you actually know if God's word has actually been working for what it is in your heart, or it's just an accumulation of knowledge you've had over the years. So look at Genesis chapter 1. Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. So we've looked at how Paul looked through the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Whatever our gospel will heed, is he to them that are lost, which God of his word has blinded the hearts of them. You know, let the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ. You know, that's chapter 4, verse 3, 4, 5, then 6. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So we've looked at all those. But you, like I said, in the series of the woman in Christ, I think one of the earlier parts of the series, talking about the image of God, talking about the reality of spiritual truth, and also ensuring that whilst natural things are used to explain spiritual things, don't just discard natural things from being natural things. You get the point? So the Bible says, God said, verse 3, now look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. It says, and there was light. So you see, one of the things you can see from this is this, right? The first three verses opens up with a chaotic situation, or a chaotic scenario. And in the midst of the chaotic scenario, you have embedded the solution to chaos. Did you get what I just said? You have embedded in the midst of a chaotic situation, the solution to the chaotic situation. All between Genesis 1 to 3. You get the point? And the truth is, either way you look at it, whether it's from the lens of darkness being the heart of man, or darkness being, you know, some things being in disarray and all the like, the fact remains that in either of the chaos situations, it is words that are spoken, that are said, that actually will be the solution to the chaos. So the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. So it means fundamentally, the Bible opens up to show you or to show humans that the mouth is not a decoration. Altogether, the mouth is not a decoration. By default, you just see that from Genesis 1 verse 1 to 3. The mouth is not a decoration. It's not there for decoration, right? So God has invited human race, particularly the believers, into a world of words. Yeah, a world of words, right? Right. So, like I said, faith is some of the things, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go back there shortly. You know, if you look at how, you know, the author of Hebrews actually links verse 3, he says, through the words, Hebrews 11, 3, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Framed by the word of God. All right. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Right. Like I said, you get that allusion back to Genesis chapter 1. Right. So the truth means that faith that remains silent is not faith. Yeah. Faith that remains silent is not faith. Are we together? Faith that remains silent is not faith. Right. Or we can say faith that remains silent is faith that has not yet arrived, or faith that has not gotten to its destination. Did you get that? Right? Faith that remains silent, we can say, is faith that hasn't gotten to its destination. It hasn't yet arrived. Right? So, if you look through Genesis chapter 1, what do you see? The word of God was first spoken, then written, so that it can be what? Spoken. I'll say it one more time. The word of God, first spoken, right? Then written, so that it can be spoken. Are we together? Right. So when we talk about the word of God, the Bible, it is a material that ideally should end to, or should lead the reader to the end that the reader speaks. Did you get what I just said? I'll say it again. The Bible is so documented and structured in a way to the end that the reader is made to speak, or is meant to speak from the reading. In fact, let's even summarize the Bible as the salvation plan of God, scriptures are written by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, right? Yeah. In the real sense, right, if you look through that definition, profitable for doctrine is to speak, instructions to speak, teaching is to speak. Am I following that? Right? So, ideally, the words of God, or the word of God, we have it on pages of scriptures, as it were, what we call the Bible, the word of God, and it is actually written down, documented for us, so that we can speak. We'll look at that, you know, shortly today. So, God first spoke, right? Then everything else did, right? Or God first speaks, then everybody else, or everything else that follows after the image, the pattern, the reflection of God, will actually follow suit in what they see in God. So, if you look through very well, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. So, in Genesis chapter 1, you say, God said, let there be light. So, before there was light, there was a saying. Before there was light, there was a saying. So, there is a saying, then there is a voice that carries the saying. And when the voice, so think about it this way, there needs to be a saying carried on the wings of a voice so that there will be a being, or so that there will be a light, or there will be light. I'll say it again. There is that which needs to be said that will be carried on the wings of the voice so that there will be light. You get the point, right? So the universe, in the real sense, we see how in the real sense, from talking about the creation story, as it were, in Genesis chapter 1, we, you know, so you talk about the argument of, you know, the world started from a bang, or just a sudden bang, and everything just appeared, and that's the way their brains too appear, just a bang. Are we together? That's very interesting to think, right? You just assume that the world just came, very organized, very structured. Look at all the galaxies, look at all the stars, look at everything well done. So think about the movement and the motion, the revolution and the rotation of the sun. Yeah, we did that in geography. I think about the rotation, revolution of the sun, the movement of the sun. Think about the perfection that comes with night and day. Let's think about those details, and you just say sudden. All together, all right? Yeah, yeah, there needs to have been a creator for there to be a creation. You get the point? But that's not our focus in this series. So the universe did not start with the Big Bang theory, or Big Bang as it were. It actually started, as we see, with words bringing light in the midst of darkness. Like I said, any which way you look through it, whether it is literal resurrection, literal creation story, or the creation of a new bed, the truth remains that words are involved. Altogether. So Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. So before there's anything to see, there must be something to be heard, or there is something that is heard, or there is something to hear. Let me say that differently. Right? Before there is anything to be seen, or before there's anything to see, there is something to hear. God said there is light. We see the light on account of what God said. Altogether. Yeah. So that's the pattern you see right from page one, right? The fact was there was darkness. But guess what, right? The fact showing darkness does not mean that's the only fact that exists. So in the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, there's a greater fact that exists, which is the fact that words can change the dynamics of chaos. Yeah. Hopefully that's not too big, right? Yeah. So there is darkness. See, darkness is fact, or darkness was fact. You get the point, right? So there is darkness, which was fact, which is fact. Yeah. So take Genesis chapter one into your life, right? Regardless of the year you hear this message, right? Yeah. So darkness can be anything. Chaos can be anything. It can be you go to the hospital and they say there's something wrong with your body, your sister. Those are facts. Yeah. It can be you get a phone call and say something happened to your uncle. Yeah. Those are facts. You get the point. Are we together, right? So take that to be Genesis chapter 1. So it means before we can at least even see something different, yeah? So if anything at all will change, right, it will change on the premise of words spoken. Did you hear what I just said? Now, there are many times that things will not change or things might not change. But I'm saying to you that if anything will change, what will need to happen before a change happens will need to be words carried on the wings of your voice or of a voice. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So God said, now one thing you must see from Genesis chapter 1 is that God did not just, the Bible does not say God thought. God said. God said. God said. So God spoke creation, as it were, into being. God did not think creation into being. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Right? So he did not think creation into being. He did not feel creation into being. Are we together? He did not wish creation into being. What did he do? He spoke it into being. Now notice the sequence. It says verse 2, the Spirit of God moved. Then you see the speech. Then you see the substance. So it means spirit-filled words would have to actually be carried on the wings of the voice for there to be a substance. I will together, I'll say it one more time. Spirit-filled voices or spirit-filled words, right, or spiritual words, right, or spiritual warfare as it is, would actually be combated on the wings of voices, right, for us or before we see the substance. Altogether. So spirit-filled words, spirit first, you can say, speech second, right? Substance thought. So if you want to stay with the letter S, spirit, speech, substance. S cube or 3S. Spirit, speak, substance. Or spirit, speech, substance. So you are a supernatural, spiritual being, righteous in Christ, right in the middle of, you know, the resurrection plan, the resurrection reality, right? You're spiritual by default. You got to fill your mouth with spiritual voices or spiritual words as a speech, as a voice, are we together, and substance. We will now be manifest. Are we together, right? So just like other people say, says, through faith, we know that the word was framed. If you have a good Bible there, just underline the word framed, right? Framed, right? So the word was framed. The word was framed by the word of God. So word was framed by the word. So it means by default, there are certain words you have to use to frame the word you need to see. Now, let me give you a very interesting note to pay attention to. That your word is not aligning to your words immediately does not mean your words are not working. Are you with me? That your words, your word is not aligning to your words immediately does not mean your words are not working. Think about it this way. Imagine someone came and told you something and said, oh, there's something very important and private I want to tell you, but I'll tell you later. Right? The substance of what needs to be said has not been said. But those words are already doing a work in the heart and the ears of the hearer. You get the point? right? So there are many things that happen that you are not aware of, you will not always see, you will not always understand, but because you know things happen much more than the eyes can see, it means you never joke with your words. So he says, the word was framed. The words were framed by the word of God, not accidentally formed, not a bank theory, not randomly generated. Altogether framed, deliberately shaped. Altogether. Yeah. You see, the word by default is in a default state of combat. Right, and that is why, you know, have you heard people say those kind of things that okay, let me say it differently. So you hear people say things like, you know, I don't all these words, all these things that all these pastors are teaching us about words, they should leave us and let's be sitting away. How come it's only the day they say they will die that we should not be scared that they will die? The day, what of the day I say there will be 1 billion? Why is 1 billion not coming to my account? Okay, now don't worry, continue. Keep saying every day that you will die. Yeah, is that not a problem? Keep saying it now. I'm trying to say to you that the word by default, right, is already in a state of combat. Are we together, right? The word by default is already in a state of combat. As a believer, you have to ensure you don't allow your words to align with. So think about it this way. The word is going in a direction. The believer ought to oppose that direction. There are many scriptures around that are not conformed to this world, but transformed in the renewal of your mind. You know, there are several things about to not friendship with this world. Friendship with this world is enmity with God. You know, all those kind of different scriptures can use to explain that. So the word is going on a trajectory. It means by default, this is the way it is going. Think about it. So the reason why it seems as though words that are spoken, words can actually influence negatively, right, is because the word is going on a trajectory, on a path. It's going all the way, right? And let's say that path is to the valley. So your words only just support your movement towards the valley. So you see why consistent and continuous words needs to always be used is because the word that is already going towards the valley, you are going negating against it upwardly, right? Against gravity, against the movement, against the pressure, against everything. So think about it this way. The world is going from the top to the valley. What is Jesus saying? What is Paul saying in Romans chapter 12? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of the mind. James 4 will now tell you, friendship with this world is enmity with God. Do not be adulterers. You get the point, right? So in the real sense, there is a lot by default. I've thought about it. Think about it. What do you hear the most when you put on the news? Yeah? It's mostly showing the direction in which the world is already going. Praise God forevermore. Yeah. So the same way a carpenter frames a house or frames a building or frames a cabin, right? That's the same way we see God frame the world. And that's the same way as well that we will frame our world. So what is the material for a carpenter to frame a cabin? Wood. What was the material for God to frame the world? Words. What would be your material to frame your world? Words. All together, right? So if the universe was framed by words, it means by default, as a believer, you ought not to be surprised that a believer's life is actually framed the same way. Praise God forevermore. Right? So the words of God, as it were, ought to be seen as the words of faith, not just poetry. Not a poetic flow of use of words. No, words of faith. Yeah? Yeah, because words of faith actually is what we call, you know, you can see them from the lens of spiritual physics. Things happening behind the scene that you are not even aware of. Think about it. Jesus goes to the tomb and the woman was dead, right? And he just goes there. Let's even use Lazarus. He goes to the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. In the words that were spoken, a lot happened behind the scene, such that nobody could use their eyes to see what was happening behind the scene, but they could use their eyes to see the substance, that is the result. Don't forget, spirit-filled words, spiritual words, then what do you do? You speak your speech. Then what do you see? You see the substance. So the substance is Lazarus resurrected. Are we together? Right? Spirit-filled words, said on the mouth or through the mouth of who? Jesus. What did he say? Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. Praise God forever. So in the real sense, we need to ensure that we live our life with this understanding that even though words are spoken seem to be insignificant, such that no one can see the power behind the scene of what is happening when words are spoken. But we must understand that either way, for us to move from this bridge or from, let me say this way, let me use an example to say it again. The bridge between spirit-filled words, the bridge between the picture that God gives you, the bridge between the vision that God gives you and the substantiation of that vision is the bridge of speech. Yeah, I remember I used the example in the image. Is it the image? Yeah, image of God. No. Is it the image of God? Yeah, you remember the teaching, Man in Christ series. Yeah, so the bridge between spirit-filled visions or spirit-filled pictures that God has shown you and where you find yourself or the substantiation of that picture is the bridge of speech, which you can call the bridge of faith or bridge of faith spoken words. Altogether. Right? So a lot of believers' lives, in the real sense, they think their words are just noise. Don't think of your words as noise. They think your words are just conversations. In fact, a lot of people actually believe or think that their mouth is only meant for food to come in and words to come out for conversations. Altogether, your mouth is not only for commentary. And we're together. More believers use the mouth for commentary than you would ever imagine. You can comment on so many things. Everything that happened, you have what to say. You have something to say. You have something to say. You have what to say. You have something to say. The truth remains that words are powerful. Words are powerful. So like I said earlier on, faith is not denying the facts, right? Faith is knowing that there is a greater fact. Please note that. Faith is not denying the facts. Faith is knowing that there's a greater fact. So, you hear a news that seems to be bad. What's that? Fact. Evidences around you are clear, substantial. There's something greater. Altogether, and the greater fact will always be built or be around the concept of the Word of God. Altogether, right? So every report or every news is a fact. Yeah, don't live in denial of the fact. Are we together, right? But you must always live in acceptance of the fact that there is a greater fact. There is something bigger. There is something bigger. Altogether, there's something bigger. That's why a lot of times in the midst of trials and tribulations, the best way to know how you've grown is the kind of words you say in the midst. You know what I'm trying to say? It's the kind of words you say in the midst, in the middle. The kind of words you say in the midst. Think about it. There was a Jesus on the boat. Altogether, right? Yeah. And what did Jesus come out of the boat to say? Was sleeping. You know, see, let me tell you. You see, don't give yourself to lots of, what do you call it, superstitions. You know, you hear some people say things like, right. You know the story of Jonah, right? Jonah will be somebody who was on the boat, he was sleeping, and all of a sudden there was storm that was raging. You know, all of a sudden you find out that something happens, and, you know, they find out that, you know, the only problem with the boats is the fact that there's a man on your boat that should not be on your boat. So what do? There are certain people in your life who should not be in your life. And before your life will actually experience a calm, you actually have to throw them out of your boat. Well, sounds good and brilliant until you get to the story of Jesus, who actually is the one that makes the boat to be stable in the midst of storm. Happy are you if you throw Jesus out, because your ideology feels anyone that is sleeping when a boat is going through serious storm is the one that has a problem. Yeah, but besides that, what's the point? Jesus was in the boat and he was calm. And the words of Jesus just proceeded out of the boat and he says, peace be still. And those words worked a lot of wonder behind the scene. And having done that, what happens? We see a substance. So spirit-filled words, speech, substance. Altogether. Praise God forevermore. Right? So, I'm not telling you to be careless with facts. I'm not telling you, not the one that you hear something, for instance, you say, God forbid, it's you, your father's brothers. No, that's not the point. It is to always remember that there are facts and there are greater facts. Praise God forever. Right? So, rather than being careless, I'm not saying you should be careless. I don't know if I said careful. Yeah, I'm not saying you should be careless with facts. Right? But you should be more careful about the greater facts, which is actually the words of God, the Word of God. right? Because the word of God is actually the higher facts that you need to live through this life as a believer. So if you are aware about this, it frames every other reality. And if you are aware about this, a believer who knows this, right, does not panic when facts look bad. When facts look bad, you don't panic, right? What do you do? Yeah. So when anything seems to be looking bad, what is the best tool to employ or to engage? Words. Altogether, words. Words. Someone calls you and says, I saw a dream that this evil happened to you, right? Just be blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yep. Did they see the dream? Yes. Is it their dream? Yes. Is it fine for them to dream? Yes. You know, a friend of mine reached out to me a couple months ago, right? And he saw something about one of our friends, right? He might probably hear this, right? So he saw something as a vision about one of our friends, right? And what he saw, you know, to be fair to him, right? Situation and facts allude to affirm to some of the things he saw, even though he wasn't even really as much aware of some of those things. And when he told me that I wanted to say this to that our friend, I said to him, I said, you see, let me tell you, there are certain things that when you see them, yeah, you are not actually meant to see them. Not everything, certain things. And I said, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you say certain things to certain people, and all they take from what you said is simply the fact that that is what you wish for them. That's what I said to him. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Because you know, some people can wish things for people, and in the things they wish for people, they mask it as a vision they saw from the Lord. In fact, let me say differently. Their vision they saw from the Lord, in quotes, is actually an amplification of the things they wish could or should have happened to the people that are involved. Altogether, right? So be the believer who, no matter what you hear as fact. Did you dream? Yes. Did you see this in your dream? Yes. Is that okay? Fine. All right, now you are awake, let's move on with life. But you don't just look back. What do? You take yourself on a walk and speak words. Altogether, you take yourself on a word and speak words. Altogether, you take yourself on a word. You see, I'll tell you something. Should I share this now? No, I'll keep it for later. Right? But you see, I've seen evidences of words being used to change narratives, to change situations, to change narrative, to change situations. Praise God forever. Right? Look at Mark's Gospel 11. Look at Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, 23. Sorry. Look at verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. So if you're a good Bible student, or you've read the Bible a little enough, you would have seen the narrative of this story where Jesus will go to a tree, will not bring forth as much fruit, and Jesus will speak. And in the morning, as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots, right? And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, do you actually believe that words you say to a tree can actually come to pass? Right? Yeah? I remember I heard a preacher say this a couple years ago where I think he was into agriculture, studying agriculture. It looked like some animals on his farm were either just dying or they could not give birth. I can't remember the exact story. Right? Yeah? Or was it the one that, let me not say the word, but he just spoke words to chickens, right? Yeah, and what he said to them actually brought forth manifestation. You get the point? Yeah? So the same thing is happening here. Jesus, if you doubt what I just said, then you've been listening to the wrong things. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, if you doubt what I just said, you've been listening to the wrong things. Yeah, because, see, chicken even has life. So let's assume chicken is not human, but at least you can say chicken has ears. So it means if chicken is crossing the road and you press your honk or your honk, chicken or him will run away. It means they heard it. Yeah. So let's even assume that they heard the words that I was saying. That's human. But I'm trying to say, much more than chicken having ears, literally, that you can explain. This is a tree. Bible says, right? And he dried up, and the fig tree that dried up from the roots. Look at verse 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Have what? Faith in God. Have faith in God. Look at 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. So look at it. Fig tree, mountain. Fig tree, mountain. Fig tree, mountain. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt. So where does doubt exist? In the heart. All together. So doubt, the root of doubt starts in the heart, but doubt can also be heard. It can also be voiced. So it says, and that shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he had said shall come to pass. He shall what? He shall have whatsoever he said. Now do something for me. Look through that verse. Count how many times you see the word say or say it or say. Just look through that verse. Or those verses. Oh yeah, no, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, number one, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, number two, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, and shall believe those things which he has what said, number three, shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says four times. Altogether, in a single verse. Altogether, right? So if you look at something like that appearing three, four times in one particular verse, yeah, there's something you should feel there. You should feel the weight of it there. It means there's a lot that is being communicated on the subject matter of sin. Yeah? Now look through the scripture very well. He doesn't say, for verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall think about a mountain moving, no. He does not say whosoever shall believe really hard in his heart, no. He says whosoever shall say. So it means that a lot of times your believing is paired with your saying. Your believing is paired with your saying. And sometimes when you don't like what you are saying, go and check your believing. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, when you don't like what you're saying, when you're not certain of what you're saying, check your believing. Right? Yeah, if you look very well, they go hand in hand. You say what you believe. Where you are to believe, don't allow doubt in that, you know, prison. The prison should be full of belief. So that when you say, we see words of belief, which you call words of faith. So you won't separate in that verse there, you won't separate the concept of believing from saying. So the mountain does not move because you thought about it. No. The mountain does not move because you felt you wanted to move. No. The mountain moves because you spoke to it. So faith without speech, like we said, is like faith with the lid still on. Yeah? Faith without speech, without speaking, is like faith with the lid still on. Such that even in the resurrection, right, we see words spoken ahead of time, even in the new creation. Even in the creation of the universe, we see a feeling, a thought, an imagination, then words are being attached together with faith. Through faith, we know the words were framed. So believing goes hand in hand with saying. Altogether. So faith without speech is like faith, or is saying faith, or is talking about faith with a lid that is still on. What it means, the lid, the L-I-D, the cover is still on. Altogether, look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Are you in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5? It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Conversation, speaking, talking, slant, conduct, yeah? So he says, and be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, who is the he that has said? God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So when you find yourself as a believer saying, I'm helpless, what are you doing? Right? You are expressing what your heart truly believes. Altogether. So look very well. It says, he has said, I will never leave. So God says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we, you and I, can say. So the words of God, or the word of God, is documented, spoken, so that we re-echo it. See, that's why, for instance, you hear things like that. You know, so sometimes you see, you sometimes when you are being prayed for, right? Yeah. When words are said to you, when words are spoken to you, right? Re-echo the words that are said to you. Some of you have a very good culture and practice, right? Yeah. If hands are laid on you, for instance, and you know, the words that comes right after it is, you are not going to die, right? What do you say? I'm not going to die. When you hear words, the peace of the Lord is my peace. What do you say? When you hear words, the peace of the Lord is your peace. What do you say? The peace of the Lord is my peace. You re-echo it because the word of God is spoken so that you can say it. Yeah, there's a place of amen. Yeah, so shall it be. Yeah. But, you know, try and move up away from the lazy path of just saying amen and actually get your mind to accept with what you are hearing and say it as you're hearing it. Altogether, on your path is light. What do you say? On my path is light. Altogether, right? The word of God, say, I say unto you that I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, so for every word that the Lord says, there ought to be a response. Look at it carefully. For every word spoken, there ought to be a response. Now think about the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord spoken ought to come or produce a response in us. Right? So when someone says, God bless you, and someone says, shall be well with you, what do you say? You say, amen, or you say, shall be well with me. What are you doing? You are saying, just as you said, the word of the Lord. So he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So God speaks, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is the promise? The assurance. The assurance is in the fact that it's God that said it. Right? So he says, it does not say, so that we may feel comforted in our hearts. No, it is so that, so look at it. It says, verse 5, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee so that you can feel comforted in your heart. No, it is, I will not leave thee nor forsake you so that you may boldly say. Yeah? So that we may boldly say, what are you to say? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So the promise from God produces a bold confession for the believer or from the believer. I'll say one more time. The promise from God, the promise of God ought to produce a bold confession from the believer. So God says something, what do? You say something. God promises something, what do? You declare it, you say it. Right? So I'm saying to you in summary, it is not enough to receive God's promises, right, in your head. It's not enough to receive God's promises in your mind, in your heart. No. Altogether. Yeah? So you are not the destination of the words of God. Did you get that? Yeah? So the words of God, as it were, is spoken to create a substance, maybe in you, for you, around you, and the likes. But in the real sense, you ought to not see yourself as a vessel, as a destination first, but you must see yourself as a vessel. So remember that example: spirit-filled, spirit words, spiritual words, speech. Yeah, the word of the speech is the word of the speaker. The vessel who speaks allows the words to flow so that it can move from words of faith to reality and substantiation of faith. Altogether. So when God says something, what do you say? You say, you say, you repeat, you say, you declare. Praise God forevermore. Right? So the word comes in through, how does it come? Reading, hearing. And how does it come? Out. It comes out through confession. I'll say it again. The word of the Lord comes in through reading, through hearing, and it comes out through confession and declaration. I'll say it again. The word of God comes in through reading, through hearing, and it comes out through confession and declaration. Yeah? So think about it of a pipe. You are the pipe. So both ends of the pipe must be what? Opened. Else what will happen? A clog. Are we together? Yeah, when you have a clog in your toilet, the reason is because there's a part of the pipe that is closed. There's a blockage. You get the point? Yeah, there's a blockage. There's something blocking it. Your tap is actually connected to a pipe that is connected to the source where water is always flowing. So what happens when you want your tap to bring out water? You allow it to open so that the water can gush out. The opening of the tap is synonymous and similar to what? Your declaration and confirmation. Altogether. So you allow the word to come into you by what? Reading, by hearing, by listening. The how do I like to come out? By what? Confession, by declaration. Let me say to you, dear saints, nobody truly is in faith if they are not speaking as much as they should. Yeah. To be in truly in faith, actually, we need to see you speaking. All together. You know why? Because faith is vocal. So if you're going through any situation in life and you don't have faith, you don't have faith spoken, you don't have the words of faith being amplified, you don't have the confession and declaration part, you are going through life without the best tool, or you are going through life without the most powerful tool. All together. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost as if you are fighting with your hands tied. Yeah. If you're going through any situation, any circumstance, all together. In this world, trial tribulations will abound. They will remain. You cannot stop it from happening. All together. Right? But the fact remains that what are the words that are being said? What are the words that are being said? Right? So if you are one who is going through life without words being spoken, confession, declaration is as good as you are fighting with your hands. So we said earlier on, your lips are not just meant for decoration, are not meant for decoration. Your mouth is not meant for decoration, right? Your mouth is not meant for intake of food and outtake, an output of conversation or commentaries. Your lips are not just for lip gloss. Your mouth is not just for lip gloss. You put different lip, you oil your mouth, oil your mouth, oil your mouth, oil your mouth. Right? And there is nothing oiled about your life. Everything is just very stiff and steep and stagnant. Praise God forever. Right? So the mouth is not just made for social interaction. God has a reason. Right? And there's a reason, I believe, your mouth is close to your eyes and your nose, your ears. It is whatever you hear, perceive, see, yeah? You can use your mouth instantly. Right? Write this down in your notes. Your mouth is an instrument that God has given you to direct your life. Is an instrument that God has given you to direct your life. You can say it differently. Your mouth is the most consequential thing about you. What comes out of it is shaping the world around you and the world inside you. And let me say it to you, unfortunately, whether you are aware or not. Let me teach you that from James 3. Go to James 3 quickly. James chapter 3. Look at James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Look at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. He says, if any man offends not in words, the same is a perfect man. He says, and is able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, for they may obey us, right? And we turn about their whole body by just putting what? Bits in the mouth of the horse. Behold also the sheep, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so, verse 5, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire and the word of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So what is James saying? A small thing controls a large thing. Your mouth controls. Yeah? What did I say? Your mouth is a consequential, is that what I said? Consequential thing, an instrument that God has given you to direct your life. So the tongue is small, the sheep is enormous, the wind is real and fierce, but the rudder still decides direction. So in other words, what decides directions or direction actually is not as much the wind. The rudder. It's the helm. So the storm in your life Is it real? Yes. Whatever you're going through in your life, is it real? Yes. Circumstances you're going through, is it real? Yes. But the challenges that are real does not mean that there is not an instrument that God has given you that can make you change the direction of your life. So whilst the storm may rage, whilst the storm may blow, wind may blow, the rudder still decides direction. So your tongue is the rudder of your life. Your tongue is the rudder of your destiny, the instrument that God gives you. Look at Proverbs 18 verse 20 quickly. So I'm saying to you today, dear saints, right? Use your mouth well. Yeah, use your mouth well. Use your mouth well. Yeah, you can't afford to use your mouth to say things that you don't want to say. Yeah, every small thing. I'm tired of life. What do you mean by that? Yeah, you have a friend, you have your best friend. All of a sudden, your best friend is frustrating you. I'm just tired of everything, right? I'm just tired of everything. Like, in fact, some of us, we will not even deliberate the tiredness and the confession of tiredness to even the main problem or the issue alone. We'll just say, everybody's just frustrating me. Yeah, your husband is, you know, stretching you and, you know, testing the love work in you. And just, I'm tired. I cannot do this anymore. Who are you talking to? All together. Who are you talking to? Yeah. Your wife does something to you. Just say, I cannot again without. Who exactly are you talking to? You see, the more you say it, right, the more actually you are using it to frame your world. See, get scared of a partner who always keeps saying to you they are tired of relationship at every slight complaint or every side issue. Get scared and get worried. Yeah, the solution to that is not just to get scared. It's to try to ensure how they feed themselves more with God's word. That's just the truth. Yeah, anybody who just wakes up and the slightest, you just feel tired. You just feel, you always feel overwhelmed. Yeah, you've talked yourself there. Let me tell you, I don't need to know as much the words you say. I just need to look at the life you live. A lot of times I can know the words you say. Yeah, trust me. Yeah, a lot of times, one doesn't really need to know the kind of words you say. One doesn't necessarily need to know the kind of words you say under your breath, the way you think, the way you reason, your private space. But a lot of times, we can see it by when we were watching you. Let me put that in context for you. So that does not mean that storm will not rage. No, it is when I see what you are behaving like in the midst of storm, I know what you say behind the scene. Yeah, just think about Jesus in the boat. Altogether. So when you realize that you're always getting overly overwhelmed, overly anxious for nothing. Bible says be anxious for nothing, but let, you know, your request be made known to God, right? With prayer and thanksgiving. When you get yourself overly anxious, overly agitated, overly, you know, But you are always getting yourself on the edge. You just check it well. You are feeding yourself bad. And unfortunately, you are not just feeding yourself bad. You are even communicating to yourself subconsciously with your mouth the things you are feeding yourself with. You know what I'm trying to say? Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Proverbs 18:20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly, look at that too. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. It says, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Think about it. Words spoken, filling the belly. What a proverbial way of talking. Now look at verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of what? Are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Right? Yeah. So that captures the fullness, the full spectrum, the fullness of life, as it were. Yeah. So they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So eating the fruit of what your mouth has been producing is the life you live. Yeah, you will eat the fruit of what your mouth hasn't produced. Not someone else's fruit, your own fruit. So the fruit a believer is eating in any given season is largely the fruit of what the believer's own mouth has been saying. altogether. Yeah? I'll say it one more time. The food of a believer that a believer is eating, right, in any given time or any season is largely, a lot of times, right, is the fruit of what the believer's own mouth has been saying. That does not mean that, you know, when you're going through challenges because your mouth has been putting yourself in challenges, but that's not the same, right? It's just saying that in the real sense, the things you see in the midst of challenges is what actually we think about the things that Paul said that the Philippians should say in the book of Philippians. For a church going through thick persecution, he didn't pray away the persecution. He didn't write them about how they should go and give an uproar about the government. No, he didn't do that. But it spoke about rejoicing the most. So what do you do when it looks like the table is turned against you? What do you do when it looks like the door of opportunity that you thought was coming your way, that you were certain 200% are friends? You know, I'm here to find somebody who goes for an interview for a job and they rarely give a very sort of positive response to you. So you did excellently well, but there was somebody who has done something similar to what we're looking for. You did exceptionally well, but there's somebody who has had more years of experience. You did exceptionally well, yeah, and all the likes. The fact remains that you cannot go and come. If somebody has a 15-year experience in doing something and they can do it very well, even you will not employ a 15-year-old person doing something with an experience. You will rarely employ, let me say that differently, over somebody who has done it for 2 years. You get the point? And cannot, so it's a different thing if you have done it for 15 years. You cannot explain it. You cannot really talk about your experience over time. All right. The question is not, you cannot change your experience from 2 years to 15 years. But the thing you can do is to regulate how your life will respond to that rejection. So a big question for you today is not, why is my life the way it is? The big question for you is, what has my mouth been saying? What has my mouth been saying? Altogether, you know, like I said earlier, if someone tells you, I want to tell you something, but I'll tell you later. That in itself, in that moment, everything shifts. Because what happens? They've said it to you, your mind is already working. Altogether. All right, they've not told you the exact thing they want to say, but your posture towards them has already been adjusted. Words did that. That's how words work. Just think about words that way. Or imagine when someone tells you something, say, imagine your best friend calls you and says, I want to tell you something that might affect our relationship. You say it differently. Say, I don't want this to affect our relationship, but there's something I need to tell you. That in itself is already affecting the relationship. Right? When it is said, what happens, right? The relationship is already being tilted towards the direction of what the possibility that could be. So what did they use? They used their words to try to prevent damage, right? And in those words they were trying to use to prevent damage, what happened? They did exactly the damage that they were trying to prevent. So words frame things even before they are fully spoken. That's the meaning of that. Words frame things even before they are fully spoken. Words frame words even in fragments. So don't be careless with your words. Lift your hands and say, I will not be careless with my words. I will not be careless with my words. Altogether. Yeah? You know, some of us, a lot of times we've been speaking our way into situations that we are now praying our way out of. We spoke ourselves into situations that we're now praying ourselves, trying to pray ourselves out of. Anyways, the good thing is that in the real sense, that same word that got yourself into a problem can actually be the one that navigates yourself back. Think about it. You're on a ship or you're on a horse. Your horse is going right into a mist of fierce storm. What do you do? The same, you know, rudder in the mouth is what you use to turn the direction of the horse. The same, not different, the same, your words. So if someone who has been given to words carelessly, pay attention to that. I'll just close with this. Look at Matthew 12, verse 34. 37, Matthew 12. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart of the mouth speaketh. Right? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give what? Account of thereof rather. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. right? By their words that shall be justified, by your words that shall be condemned. So what Jesus is explaining here is that words carry weight. Let me say it differently. Words carry weight that outlast the moment in which they were spoken. I'll say it one more time. Words carry weight that outlight or outlast the moment in which they were spoken. I'll say it one more time. Words carry weight that outlast the moment in which they spoke. I spoke to someone very recently. I said, do not use your mouth to speak temporarily based on your emotions, right? Yeah, do not use your mouth to speak permanent words based on temporary emotions. Altogether, yeah, altogether. A lot of times it's better you stay without even saying than saying and trying to get it back. You know, I did one of the teachers did earlier in the year. I said words are like pouring water into a basket. Once you said it, you don't get it back. Altogether. Yeah, unfortunately, right? So, but the only good thing is the fact that you can keep saying to undo what has been done based on what, to undo what has been done based on what you said. Altogether, right? So even in your jest, even in your jokes, yeah, don't insult your children. Yeah? Don't hit your child's head and say, see his big head. See a big head. Just say big head, empty for, big head for nothing. Altogether, yeah? Common sense you don't have. You don't say those words. Altogether, right? You don't say things like, why is it I'm failing in every aspect of my life? You know what it is to fail in every aspect of your life? Yeah, you don't say those words. What about always saying to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror? What about always saying to yourself, I'm victorious? What about always saying to yourself, I'm a child of God? What about always saying to yourself that I am never defeated? Altogether, I'm never defeated. What about always saying to yourself, the peace of the Lord is my peace? What about always saying to yourself that the peace of the Lord radiates my heart? What about always saying to yourself that I can never be taken by the wind and fierce wind or fierce storm of this world? What about always saying to your children, you will grow and serve Jesus? Yeah, there is no day, at least I'm seeing my daughter 2, 3, 4 times, that I'm not speaking words into our future. And the words that I spoke, you see, I know I could always tell you, I took out weeks into months, you know, at some different points and days of fasting whilst my daughter was pregnant, right? And the exact words we said while she was in the womb are the exact things we are seeing today. Now, I'm not going to focus myself on somebody else who said they spoke and they did not see whatever they are saying. That's not what's going to be on my mind. I trust myself. I'm not in the house with you. I'm not in your room with you. I don't know what you were saying when you were saying. Think about it. You know, a lot of times, you are speaking words to a child in the womb. You are hoping and anticipating and expecting they are hearing you. And in the same relationship with your partner, you are always insulting yourselves when that baby was in the womb. What do you mean by that? You trust enough that they hear when you speak good words. You shall be favored. You shall be a minister. But you don't trust enough that when you are insulting yourself, yeah, when you are insulting the father, or when the father insulted the mother, right, that they are not hearing. Yeah? It goes as much to show how your trust understanding needs to be trusted. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? I have seen first-hand facts. Yeah? I remember one of the midwives that came to see my daughter at the premier point. She said some words. She said, in 20 years of being a midwife, is it a midwife? They call her a nurse. I've forgotten their names, yeah? Right, in 20 years of serving, she picked something on my daughter's body, right, and she looked at the number, and she literally was turning red in front of us in our living room. Said, in 20 years of nursing, and we just found out that, well, we know the kind of words we spoke. And we're together. We know the kind of words we spoke. Yeah? Let me tell you, your child can be acting as though they are stubborn. You don't affirm their stubbornness with your words. And we're together. Because why is your child stubborn? You are saying to them you are stubborn and you are still complaining they are stubborn. You get the point? Yeah? I'm just using your child as an example, not careless, rather an example today. But the same thing, right? You say to yourself, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why is it I don't understand every single thing people explain to me? Yeah? What are you doing? You are subconsciously affirming to yourself certain facts that actually can be a fact, but there is something more you can say. Altogether, eh? Nothing I do works. You can't keep saying those words. Altogether, You can't keep saying nothing you do work. You can't keep saying you are tired. At every you blink your eyes one, twice, you are tired. Yeah, they give you work at work. You just say, I'm just tired of this life. You know what it means to be tired of life? You've got no idea. Altogether, yeah? They give you work at work. Before you know it, all your body language, you just change. You just start crying every time. You always cry. It just goes as much to show you are feeling wrong. Like I said, I don't need to know what you do. You see, you don't have to tell me you pray 10 hours a day. You will know. I will know. You don't have to tell me I speak God's word for 1 hour a day. You don't need to show the public. So that's why I'm always very, skeptical about people who always have to show people their prayer life and their prayer devotion by recording themselves when they wake up in the morning and stretch their body. You don't have a prayer life. Check it well. You don't have a prayer life. Yeah. Let one breeze just blow. Are we together? Right. Anyways, I want to leave you with an assignment tonight. Right. Yeah. I'll leave you an assignment tonight. Before you stand up from your seat, wherever you are, once you turn off this camera, write down 5 words that you know can counter some of the things you've said to yourself over the years. 5 words. And say it every day, morning, afternoon, 6 a.m. when you wake up. Some of you that don't wake up at 6 a.m., wake up at 10 a.m. wake up in the morning. Wake up in your... I'll tell you, saying it's not midday, because if you wake up at 10, midday, your midday cannot be 12, right? So wake up in the morning when you wake up, right? Your midday, some people's midday is 3, right? At 3, and just before you sleep, just say it 3 times a day. And read those, just five. Don't make it more than 5, just 5 things. Yeah, just 5 things. Right, just 5 things all together. Write it down. Yeah, if you've had the fear of failing, just something, just say, I'm a success in Christ Jesus. I am successful, or I will live a life of success. Or I am, in fact, not even I will live a life, I am living a life of success. Just 5 things. Right, before you leave your seat, just 5 things. Right, write it down, note it down, say it to yourself every day between now and the next 7 days. Right, and we'll see how to pick it up again. On Wednesday. So on Sunday, I'll just come, we'll just have our question and answer session with the One in Christ series. I will try to tackle a few things, hoping that, we can get some responses from the questions that we still have after that series. Hopefully it's been enlightening as well. And today's one as well. Today's teaching as well, I'll say to you, go back to it. Don't let this be just a careless instruction that you are listening to. Go back to it. There's a reason. You can't afford to spend more time on the things of this world, including your work. Let me tell you something. By default, the moment you are spending 7-8 hours at work, just always see yourself as you're already on the negative. Yeah, it sounds harsh. It sounds painful, but it's the truth. Right? 8 hours out of your day, and that's the highest commitment you have to your life. That's why you see a lot of times. You have to learn how to catch up more on some of these things, but with vigils. Right, with your weekends, with so many things, right? Yeah. Okay, if that one is very painful, let's use social media. Yeah. If you're spending more time on your phone, that you're spending more time listening to God's word and, saying God's word, confessing God's word, and paying attention to prayer and the likes, yeah, you're one who is preparing yourself to live a life, to live a defeated life as a victorious Christian. Are we together? Yeah. Once you see anybody get overwhelmed easily as a believer, it is clear. And if you are the one listening to me, I'm talking to you as your pastor, if I am, right? If you get yourself overly overwhelmed, you are easily overwhelmed. Every slight thing gets you overwhelmed. Yeah, you are paying attention to the wrong things. That's the truth. You're paying attention to the wrong things. Yeah, so cut down those things that, feeding your mind more. Let me say it differently. You are paying attention to the wrong diet. That's just it. Yeah? You're paying attention to the wrong diet. Are we together? Well, being a